In a world obsessed with novelty and personal truth, orthodoxy sounds like the ultimate bore, rigid rules from dusty books. Yet, what if the greatest adventure isn't creating your own spiritual path, but discovering one that stood for centuries? What if rebellion in today's world isn't about breaking rules, but embracing them? This is the provocative premise behind The Thrill of Orthodoxy. The crisis facing Christianity isn't primarily external persecution, but internal complacency, when believers no longer feel wonder at the extraordinary truths they profess. Like running water that amazes those who've never had it, while being utterly forgettable to those who have, the gospel's magnificence has become mundane to many Christians. We attend services, recite creeds without stirred hearts, and compartmentalize faith as just one aspect of busy lives. But authentic Christianity isn't a tame hobby. It's a mission requiring obedience to a king, an adventure that brings us face to face with opposition. Our spiritual malaise stems from losing confidence in Christianity's truth and goodness. We've inherited a vast estate, but stay cooped up in a broom closet, bored and restless. Orthodoxy, literally right belief, isn't rigid conformity, but an expedition spanning centuries. It's an ancient castle with spacious rooms and mysterious corridors, representing foundational truths consistently affirmed throughout Christian history. These truths appear in the Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian creeds, which serve as guardrails keeping us on Scripture's path, revealing Christianity's deeply personal nature focused on God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Spiritual drift works imperceptibly, like swimmers suddenly realizing the current has carried them far from shore. Doing nothing can result in movement, and drowning in heresy begins with drifting toward error. This drift manifests as religious motions without spiritual fervor, emphasizing practical Christianity while dismissing theology, discomfort with countercultural teachings, or prioritizing social impact over evangelism. The danger lies in casually assuming orthodoxy while focusing elsewhere. Rather than responding with fear, we should respond with faith, both keeping ourselves in the love of God while trusting we are kept for Jesus Christ. Imagine the difference between building a house and discovering a hidden castle. While our culture celebrates blazing one's own trail, Christianity offers something radically different, following a path bigger than ourselves. The real rebellion today is conforming to truth beyond our desires rather than worshiping self-expression. Orthodoxy involves discovering what already exists rather than creating something new. Religion isn't merely self-discovery, but encountering something beyond ourselves to which we must adapt. When we discover truth rather than invent it, we encounter boundaries not of our own making. Historic Christianity contains soul-satisfying mysteries, not in foggy uncertainty, but in deep theological waters, where ambiguity stems from orthodoxy's grandeur. Like building codes that keep us safe, or sports rules that make games possible, doctrinal boundaries don't shackle us, they free us. While contemporary views celebrate unlimited options, orthodoxy may appear restrictive from outside, but it's bigger on the inside, offering freedom for excellence and the adventure of soul shaping. Just give me Jesus. I don't need all that theology. This sentiment reflects our culture's pragmatic drift that diminishes orthodoxy by valuing only immediately relevant doctrine. True Christianity emphasizes following Jesus without neglecting what we believe about him. Many Christians wrongly pick deeds against creeds, though Scripture doesn't separate doing from doctrine. Some prefer deeds over creeds because theology can become either loveless or competitive. However, the solution isn't abandoning theology, it's pursuing it as an act of love within mission. Theological details matter because they tell us about a person, not just practical advice. Many approach God merely as a helper or life coach, missing the thrill of truly encountering another living being. Theological details create conditions for human flourishing, like fine-tuned environmental conditions necessary for life. Getting these details right matters because small errors lead to significant consequences, like a slight trajectory adjustment causing a rocket to miss its target. Theological drift begins with seemingly minor errors that, when pushed to their logical conclusion, ultimately oppose orthodoxy. Discomfort with Christianity's seemingly narrow doctrine often leads to drift from orthodoxy. We may downplay unpopular beliefs for social acceptance, letting the world dictate our faith. When we judge orthodoxy by worldly standards instead of the reverse, we strip Christianity of its compelling strangeness. Though marketed as expansive and inclusive, heresies are actually smaller and narrower than orthodoxy. Unlike dead pagan beliefs, departures from Christian orthodoxy provoke reaction because the faith remains alive. Orthodoxy functions like a medieval castle protecting those within. Attempts to expand it actually shrink Christianity through dilution. Heresies appeal not because they're completely false, but because they contain kernels of truth. Error emerges when Christians weaponize one truth against others, like using Jesus' inclusive call against his exclusive claim to be the only way to salvation. Ironically, heresy often begins with those most concerned about orthodoxy, whose zealous defense of one truth can eclipse complementary truths. While heresy insists on either or, orthodoxy embraces both and, holding together seemingly contrary opposites. Most people dislike conflict, preferring religion as a unifying force. Yet Christianity's fundamental doctrines resist privatization. The resurrection isn't merely personally true, it's a public truth that changes everything. Christians typically respond through accommodation, adapting faith to social contexts, or retreat, withdrawing into like-minded communities. Both paths abandon Christianity's adventure. The thrill of orthodoxy is that truth takes on the world. We leave comfort zones to spread good news with courage. Christianity's uniqueness comes from declaring something fundamentally different, not advice or spiritual improvement, but news about the resurrection event at our faith center. Christianity must adopt an offensive posture, not being offensive, but playing to win rather than merely defending. Jesus promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against his church, with gates being defensive structures. The church moves outward, pushing back darkness. At the points of sharpest contradiction with culture, we find our greatest opportunities for gospel witness. Truth confronts both the world and the church when necessary, standing tall despite our failings. Meaningful journeys require both challenge and an inspiring destination. Humans thrive on purpose rather than apathy. Christianity uniquely begins with God descending to save us, yet through His grace we ascend by the Spirit's power, resembling a climb toward a summit that's exciting precisely because it's perilous. While we celebrate commitment in learning instruments or running marathons, we oddly retreat from Christianity's moral vision. Today's approach often emphasizes only Jesus' mercy while downplaying His demands. Orthodox Christianity offers a thrilling alternative, a transformative journey toward moral majesty. The church serves as both hospital for sinners and school for saints. God's grace saves and instructs, redeeming our past while training us for the future. The demands are rigorous because the goal is magnificent, climbing toward Christlikeness with the Spirit's empowerment. While society promotes moral permissiveness, we paradoxically celebrate physical excellence. The God of orthodoxy doesn't merely affirm us, but invites us to soar to new moral heights and gives us power to fly.